upward road leading to that bright abode where forever my soul shall be free. Won't that be a happy time? Heaven's bells will sweetly chime when the home gates swing open for me. Oh, that will be a happy day when all the clouds have passed away. When the home gates swing open for me, oh yes, that will be a happy day when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. When the home gates swing open for me, and though sometime the path may lead through the veil of sin and greed, Jesus ever my refuge will be. Soon at home my trials o'er, I shall praise him evermore. When the home gates swing open for me, sing it. Oh yes, that will be such a happy day. Oh, when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. Oh, when the home gates swing open for me, and I'll keep walking in his light till my faith shall end in sight. Jesus ever my refuge will be. I shall find a welcome there and a crown of glory wear when the home gates swing open for me. Oh yes, that will be a happy day. Oh, when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. Oh yes, when the home gates swing open for me. Oh yes, that will be such a happy day. Oh, when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. And when the home gates swing open for me, and though sometime the path may lead through the veil of sin and greed, Jesus ever my refuge will be. And soon at home my trials o'er, I shall praise him evermore. When the home gates swing open for me, oh yes, that will be such a happy day. Oh, when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. When the home gates swing open for me, and I'll keep walking in his light till my faith shall end in sight. He will lead me till safe for the sea, and I shall find a welcome there and a crown of glory wear when the home gates swing open. Come on, sing it. Oh, then we'll be.
That will be
a happy day when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. Oh yes, when the home gates swing open, on that chorus, oh yes, that will be such a happy day. Oh, when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. When the home gates swing open for me, and they'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Oh yes, shouting. Oh, they'll be shouting on the hills when we reach that land of which we've heard the story. They'll be shouting on the hills of God. Oh yes, they'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Oh, shouting on the hills. Yes, shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we've heard the story, we'll be shouting on the hills of God. Oh, yes, that will be such a happy day. Oh, when all the clouds have passed away, and from my cares I shall be free. Oh, when the home gates swing open for me.
Turn this morning to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3.
One of the great chapters in this blessed old book, Revelation chapter 3. Thank you for the music and singing. Church, I'm telling you, singing the songs of the Lord ought to always be a joy to us. If you do not enjoy singing, you ought to train yourself. You ought to ask God to help you, that you sing as unto the Lord. What makes singing wonderful is when it's to the Lord. Now, when we're singing to one another, that's a different situation. Now, in your Bible, the book of Revelation, I'm going to preach this morning on the words of Jesus to the Laodicean church. The words of Jesus to the Laodicean church. These words are breathtaking, and I certainly won't have time to cover all of this great story. But Jesus wrote to seven churches, the book of Revelation. Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 has those seven letters. All seven of those churches are in Asia Minor, the western side of the country called Turkey. They were all probably organized during Paul's ministry in Ephesus. For Ephesus, being the first of the seven, was kind of the mother of the other churches. And Apostle Paul, from his location in Ephesus, organized all seven of these great churches within pretty much the same vicinity. And so it's quite amazing. If the Lord opens the door, I'm working on it, I'm going to plan a tour, a boat tour, into Turkey to visit the location of these seven churches. I believe there's enough people that love our radio ministry over the country that we would more than fill up a great plan, a great tour, and would do it with boat and go to the Isle of Patmos where Paul was, where John was exiled, and go to the city all these cities. We're starting Jerusalem, of course, and then Antioch, and then these seven church locations, and then probably the Isle of Patmos, and maybe end up in Rome, you know, catch a plane home. If you like to plan that, go to working on it, because I'm trying to get it together and push it across our audience of people throughout our radio ministry and internet and Facebook and etc. So pray for me that God will help me get it done. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How many would like to go to visit the location of these seven churches? Let me see your hand. Come on, raise it way up high. Would you really like to go? Would you really like to go? Wouldn't it be wonderful to study the Bible an hour or two every night after going to these places where the Bible lived in the days of the writing of the scripture and the early church? What a trip. What an opportunity. I don't know whether God will allow it to be fulfilled, but I sure would like to do it as kind of a crowning part of my ministry here before I go home to heaven, if Jesus tarries. You know, it's really overwhelming to study these seven churches. But number seven, the last of the seven, is the one that is most really spectacular in the message that it offers us. Let me read it and notice the words. Please listen carefully. Don't let your mind wander. Hear what the book is saying, would you please? And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, thus saith, I'm sorry, they saith, well, my eyes is not working real good. Give me a moment here to focus. It'll all work out in a minute. I have to spend a little time focusing my eyes anymore because of my hearing weaknesses. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And you got to hear that. Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and that thine eyes I will anoint with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now notice that. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, that's a great statement. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, or open the door unto me, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him, now listen, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am set with my Father in his throne. Do you know I'd never noticed that part of this before? Jesus saying, to him that overcometh, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne, because I have overcome and now I sit with my Father in his throne. I've noticed lately how many scriptures I read and preach from that prove the Trinitarian doctrine, that the Jesus idea is absolutely a fallacy idea. It couldn't be more false. And here Jesus says, if you overcome, I'm going to grant you to sit with me in my throne, in my power, in other words, even as I have overcome, and I'm sit with my Father in his throne. Or his power. Amen. What a statement. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath ear? How many of you got an ear? Let me see your hand up there on your ear. Can you hear? Can you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying? This is Jesus. Jesus makes it plain that he's the one who gives the direction for these words. He said, listen to me. I'm talking to you. He said, even as I am sitting with my Father in his throne because I overcame, I'm going to grant you to sit with me in my throne if you overcome. More, does that make me want to be an overcomer? Does that make me want to be an overcomer? Now, I want you to point your fingers this way, your hand, and then be seated, and don't stop listening to every word from your pastor's heart. I'm telling you, I'm preaching from my heart. Father, I'm claiming your anointing this morning, that I will be hid away in a Holy Ghost unction that is absolutely beyond human capacity of you, great God, your power, your anointing, your holiness, great God. I'm claiming it so. I'm claiming it done in Jesus' name, and that he might be glorified, and you may be seated. Now, I preach from my heart this morning, with all that my capacity is. Now listen to me very clearly and very, very attentively. I want you to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to the church. Now he's writing to the Laodicean church. But that was never meant to be just Laodicea. The seven letters mark all the church ages and the church generations and the church experiences. And so this letter is written to us. This letter is written to us, every one of us. Now, I want us to notice several things as we go through this letter. Number one, the name of this church is Laodicea. It's in a community, a little town that was called Laodicea. Okay? That was the name of the town. Now, each of these names has a meaning beyond just the location. Laodicea has a very sharp meaning. It means the church of mob rule, the church of independent Christianity, a church where every man and woman considered themselves a law in their own, a law to themselves. And nobody had a sense of the unity and the oneness of a church family. Nobody had a sense in this church of any obligation to the shepherd or the pastor. Everybody considered themselves a law of their own. Do as you please, when you please, like you please, and don't be obligated to nobody. That was the mood of this Laodicean church. And he writes to them from understanding their personality. He writes unto them from knowing what they represent. And he's telling them that in this situation, you are neither cold nor hot. You're not on fire, and you're not backslid to the core. You are in between the world of entrance into Christianity and the world of maturity in Christianity. You've never grown up. You've never put on maturity. You've never put on the attitude of an adult. You've never put on the spirit of a person utterly sold out and surrendered and committed to God. You're in between the two worlds. You're in between the world and its lifestyle and the church and its biblical lifestyle, and you're simply lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. Now, you need to notice that when he said these words to them, he said to them, I would you were either cold or hot. God doesn't, I mean, he's like anybody with good understanding. You just don't like lukewarmness. I went in yesterday, I guess it was, no, it was Friday, got a cup of coffee over at McDonald's. I like McDonald's coffee. Now, I was here at the church. I didn't have time to go home and make my own, so I went over to McDonald's, and they handed it to me, and it was lukewarm. I handed it back to the gentleman, real nice, and he was nice, and I said, I can't handle this coffee. It is almost cold, but it's a little bit warm. Would you mind putting it in your microwave and giving me some hot coffee? Well, he put my coffee in the microwave and brought me back a cup of hot coffee. And that was very enjoyable and very good. But I can't stand something lukewarm. You know, that has got to be the nature we see here in God. He just don't like somebody lukewarm. And this is, of course, Christ talking to his church. And he said, I would you either be cold or be hot, but because you lukewarm. You know what he said he was going to do? Because you lukewarm. How many of you have ever really got that word, those words down in your understanding and made them a part of your thinking? Because you're neither whole nor hot, hot or cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Woo! Spew you, spit you out. Because you're neither cold or hot. Now, church, I'm here to tell you, that's where the church world is today. The calls I had yesterday from Pennsylvania and different places were telling me how heartbroken they are with the church world. Some of them had been parts of these great churches in their day of Pentecostal outpouring. I am finding that as never before, the Pentecostals are preaching the Calvinistic doctrine of limited atonement. And along with that, the Calvinistic doctrine of once saved, always saved. And they're preaching that because their congregation is in and out and up and down. Sunday morning people who don't care about Sunday night, who don't care about Wednesday night, who don't know what it is to go somewhere and get in an altar and pray an hour or two until the mighty the Holy Ghost comes down. I'm here to tell you, church, our lukewarm church has got to find some kind of doctrine to satisfy them. Anybody understand what I'm saying? How many understand what I'm saying? Will you slip your hand up? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. If you're not on fire for God, you need something to console yourself with. Because way down deep inside, when you're not on fire for God, there's a comfort level that you've passed over into the negative, and you don't really feel secure. You don't really feel like you can depend upon your future. You're really not sure about heaven or hell when you get cold and indifferent. And I'm telling you, church, hear me when I speak to you out of my heart. God doesn't want you either lukewarm, but he wants you either cold or hot. He wants you on fire. He wants you burning like a ember in a fireplace. He wants you burning with an anointing and an unction from God Almighty. Oh, dead churches are almost the total out there today. Why some people even go to those churches, I'll never understand. About the only reason you could go is because of a social connection, because you got a friend there or somebody you can be a friend with. But Jesus said plainly, I would you were either cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to tell you, listen to me. If you haven't had a Holy Ghost prayer in 2 months, probably 1 month, and prayed until the fire of God fell on you, you are not on fire. And you're lukewarm. How many? No, I'm not going to ask you this. I won't ask you this, but I'm not going to ask you. I'm almost determined to ask you anyway. Listen to me. Do you remember the time that don't answer? I'm not going to ask for an answer. You remember the time when you were a whole lot more on fire for God than you are right now? I guarantee you, there is at least 90% of the people in this building that can remember when you prayed until the fire fell all over you. You remember praying until the anointing of God was upon you and you couldn't stand to miss church. I guarantee you can remember when you were so dead set on the things of God that they were consuming to you. And you loved God with everything in you. But time can wear you down to a frazzle. Time can give you a tough struggle. It isn't just one of us that has to struggle with life around us and experiences. All of us have to struggle. And if you don't stay close to God, your fire will fall down to almost nothing. And you'll wonder, where is the God that I used to know, so rich and wonderful? Well, church, He's calling you to get on fire. Would you raise your hand with me if you believe what I'm saying? Let me see your hand up. If you don't believe what I'm saying, just leave it down. I can find out where you stand. You believe what I'm saying, raise your hand. You believe it takes fire. You believe you got to have an anointing of the Holy Ghost. You believe you got to have this unction of God burning in your life. If you go in that rapture, it's going to be because you're on fire. It's because you have left that world of independence and do my own thing, that Laodicean age. Well, we're right in the middle of it. And the Holy Ghost is going to come while the church world as a whole, not the on fire crowd, but the church world as a whole is in this Laodicean state. Now, what does he say about this crowd? I want you to notice that. He said, because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. They are so satisfied with what they have. So satisfied with all their blessings. So satisfied with all the good things God has done for them. You know, it's amazing. The more God blesses us, the more satisfied we become with the things that He has blessed us with. Is anybody listening to me? The more God does for us, the more satisfied we become with the blessings that God has done for us. And sometimes the blessings of God are almost a negative thing because we take them into our life and we become consumed with these wonderful things. And no longer do we really hunger after the things of God. They said, we are rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. Oh, you look at the church world today. You look at their wealth. You look at their many blessings. You look at the comfort zone. You look at the beauty of their sanctuaries. It's amazing what those things do for us. You can chase church history, and you will find in almost every case when the church leaves on the other side of the railroad track, where they had a building that was not very impressive and it had no cultural wealth look about it, and they moved across into an area where they could build a beautiful sanctuary, and the house becomes a place that's renowned and people love it, and they can look at the beauty of it. We can look at the beauty of this church. It's a wonderful place, but I'm telling you, what we need is a log cabin mentality. We need need an old-fashioned church thinking. We need to get back to the power of the sweet Holy Ghost, where wealth didn't mean a thing to us. All we wanted was the power of God. Are you with me? I want the power of God. I want a log cabin mentality. Is this all right with everybody? Oh yeah, I love the pretty building. But it's a lot of work. And it never all gets done. And it keeps you busy. And it takes all the money you can get your hands on. And so there are negatives as well as positives. But listen, what we want is the power of the Holy Ghost. He's talking to this kind of a church. He's talking to a church just like Paul Creek. He's talking to a church just like Eastway Church of God. He's talking to a church just like Pentecostal Holiness across town. He's talking to a church just like all of us. And he's saying, don't be telling everybody how we increase with goods and we have need of nothing. He said, because when the fire is out, I can look at you and tell that you're wretched and you're blind and you're miserable and you're not enjoying what you got because the fire is missing. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody shout with me, will you? I'm preaching the truth to you. If you're not listening, you're the one that's going to answer to God for it. I'm telling you, we are living in such a day that God wants his church on fire. Now, I'm not talking about noise. I'm talking about fire. Holy Ghost fire. The kind of fire that puts you in the altar to weep and sob over loss. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost said to me. A few days ago, he said, that revival you're praying for has really already begun. He said, all is happening yet is a brooding of the Holy Ghost over your city of Charlotte. A brooding. Now, I'm preaching to you what I know is happening. A brooding. What is brooding? When the Holy Ghost said the word to me, I remember the old mother hen brooding over her eggs in the nest until they would hatch. But I really didn't know what he was trying to say to me until I studied the word. And the word brooding means he's making people uncomfortable in their sins. He's making people concerned with their state of life. Just like you, Eric. You're a perfect example of what the Holy Ghost is doing, not just around here, but over this city, and over people we know, and people we're ministering to. I'm seeing it on radio. I'm seeing a remarkable increase. I'm seeing a remarkable response to us. I'm seeing a remarkable amount of dollars that some of our listeners are sending to us because there is a brooding of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's happening all over the church world. I believe there's an unhappiness. There's a discomfort. There's a feeling we're not where we ought to be. There's a feeling that something's wrong. There's a sense of the worldliness. That's gripping the hearts of multitudes. And I believe this all is God getting ready to pour out the Holy Ghost in a mighty outpouring of the fire of heaven. And not a lot of the church believes that yet. But you will soon. Are you listening to me? You will soon. When it really begins to show up. Hallelujah. We don't want just two drug men who've been addicted to drugs being delivered in a matter of 2 months, really. Matter of 2 months. We don't want just two. We want dozens. We want homosexuals getting right with God and leaving the sins of sodomy. We want worldly Christians getting right with God and putting aside all their worldly dress and their worldly attire. We want godly people begin to act like godly people because nothing will happen in a revival like a return to holiness. 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 Holiness unto the Lord. Hallelujah. What's going to happen? You say, I don't believe it yet. Okay, just hang around. Hallelujah, hang around. You're going to believe it soon. I really believe that with all my heart. I'm not going to get off these altars. I'm not going to miss being in this sanctuary on a regular basis, crying out to God. He said, unto them that wait, shall the Lord come and show you things like you've never seen before. Hallelujah. Oh, church, listen to me. God wants to pour out his Holy Ghost on his church. Now, this Laodicean church, what all does he say to them? He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Did you hear that? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What is he saying? What is God trying to say to us? God is trying to say to us, I'm wanting to take your life and I'm wanting to increase you in the spiritual realm, and I want to let you be partakers of the spiritual gold that's been tried in the fires of faith and confidence and surrender and devotion. I'm telling you, there's not a one of you in this building that cannot be the possessor of spiritual gold over the next weeks if you will spend your time seeking out the things of God and making your interest in Him the center of all your time and your activity. I promise you, God is a faithful God, and He'll never let you down. He'll never let you wait on Him and wait on Him and wait on Him consistently and faithfully, and not come at the right moment and do exactly what He's promised for you. Woo! Hallelujah. He will do it as sure as my name is Joseph Chambers. He's waiting on you. The hunger for the gold tried in the fire. I don't want that gold of the worldly substance. I want the gold that's Holy Ghost gold, that's tried in the fire of God's divine graces. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody help me preach, will you? Oh, listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. He counsels you right now. He's talking to Laodicea. And let's just call ourselves, in some fashions, a Laodicean. Or a Laodicean people. Or a Laodicean church. However you want to say it. Let's just call ourselves that. I'm not putting this down. I'm not saying we don't have some good about us. I'm not saying we don't have at least some lukewarm things around here. But most of us are just barely lukewarm. The fire's not burning. The Holy Ghost anointing is not burning. How long has it been since you prayed 1 hour and the Holy Ghost fell on you like a storm of grace? You did it. What night did you do it? Thursday night? Friday night? Friday night. Friday night. How long did you pray? An hour. An hour. And when did the fire fall? The last 30 minutes? He was exhausted, but God came through and set him aflame. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you what, he's told me about his drug addiction. To make it a week without that stuff meant God helped him. He didn't do it on his own. Stand up if you would, Eric. I just want you to stand up. Stand up if you would right there. Hey, I'm here to tell you, God wants to do that to every one of us. God's done it for you, Joe. I don't ever expect to see you messing around with drugs ever again. I hope if you ever touch them that they knock you on your face so flat that you can't get up for 3 days. I mean, really, God's got to get our attention. I don't believe it'll happen, though. Understand? I'm here to tell you, it's time we made up our mind that we're going to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. Gold tried in the fire. Say it with me, would you? Gold tried in the fire. Come on, everybody say, gold tried in the fire. Do you want it? That's called spiritual righteousness. That's called an anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's real. That's genuine. That's called an unction from the mighty Father's presence. Hallelujah. So he's talking to this church. I want you to understand. He wasn't happy with their condition. And he was sad. But he was begging them to return to him. If you knew how much God wants this present day church world to get back on fire, you may be seated. If you knew how much God wants His church off the seats of lukewarmness and do-nothingism, and God wants us on the altars, with fasting and praying and crying out to God, it thrilled me. I was late coming in yesterday morning because when the last day before school was over and our orientation had finished on Friday night, and it was all excellent. Was it not one great night? Was it not one great night, sister? Was it not, Ginger? It was a great night. I think the biggest crowd, I remember raining up a storm, and they all came out, and it was great. And I was exhausted. That's why I didn't get here on time. But Brother Marlin had been here all night, and I'm not bragging on him. I'm just telling you, he'd had a night of prayer, And I came in and relieved him a little bit before 7. I said, Martin, go home, go to bed. I'll take over. That's the kind of prayer we're going to continue to do. We aren't going to give up until fire falls. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not going to give up till fire falls. We're not going to give up until we see things we've never seen before. And I'm not talking about some kind of new crazy stuff. I'm just talking about the old truths of the Bible, the old promises of the Scripture. I want to see the sick healed. I visited with Sylvia yesterday in the hospital. I said, Sylvia, we're crying out to God to heal your body. You've suffered enough through these years, and your church is praying. I told her that someone had been in the church all night praying and fasting for her, and it thrilled her heart. I don't know what all God's going to do. It may be time to take her home. And if it is, that'll be a grand moment for her. But I'm here to tell you, God's able to heal her. She's got enough people in her family to have filled this church. If she got healed, and they all saw the mighty power of God. You know what this world needs? They need to see some power. They need to see something beside a few amens and a couple of hooplas. They need to see more than a pastor just running around on the front of the church. They need to see the power of God. They need to see the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. They need to see the sick healed. They need to see some blinded eyes open. You can write it down in your book. It's fixing to happen. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody shout with me, will you? I dare a few of you to stand up and shout with me for a moment and thank God for what he's going to do. Anybody got the guts to do that? Just stand up and praise him. Stand up and honor him. Stand up and thank him. Stand up and expect him to do something like we have never seen before right out of the Holy Bible. Are we ready? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's the whole spectrum of spiritual revival. That one statement means spiritual awakening and spiritual satisfaction. That's overwhelming. Oh, you may be seated. And God so Sharamia. I want you to just hallelujah. Bob, God's gonna fill you with the Holy Ghost. You hear me? That sovereign revival comes. You better get ready. Get yourself sanctified. Get yourself on fire. God wants to fill every one of us with fire, with Holy Ghost anointing. He wants to set us aflame. I want to burn, don't you? I want fire leaping out both ears. Hallelujah. I want fire sitting on my shoulder like happened on the day of Pentecost. I want to see his glory. Well, this is what he said. Now, I know I got to move on quickly. He says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, let me explain to you that Laodicea is the last of 7 churches. While he was talking to every church of every age, and it was talking about ages of the church, it was certainly showing us a sequence and a pattern the churches would follow. And so that Laodicea is the church when Jesus comes. But the Philadelphia church, right before the Laodicean church, is also a church when Jesus comes. So here you have the last two churches. You have the Philadelphia church. And they're ready for the rapture. They go up in the rapture. He promised them, I'm not going to let you have to go through that tribulation that's coming. He made that promise plain and exact to them. That's in verse 8 of chapter 3. Absolute promise that because you're on fire, I will not make you go through the wrath that's coming. That's the Philadelphia church. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, there'll be a big church left. There'll be a big church gone. And which one do you want to be in? Let me see. Which one do you want to be in? The first church that goes or the church that stays? You want to be in on the church that gets spewed out of his mouth? Or you want to be in on the church that gets caught up to the heavens? That's the Philadelphia church. No doubt about it. The Philadelphia church is the rapture-ready church. The Laodicean church is the cold, lukewarm church left for the tribulation period. There's people sitting here that may indeed be left because you're part of the Philadelphia church and I can't move you, I can't stir you, I can't shake you. You just seem to sit and listen to me and keep on doing like you've been doing. I'm telling you, it's time to get out of the Philadelphia church and get in the Laodicean church. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. I blew that one, didn't I? It's time to get out of that Laodicean church and get in the Philadelphia church. The Philadelphia church is the church of brotherly love. See, the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. The word Laodicea means church of mob rule, a bunch of independent crowd that won't listen to nobody. Listen to me. You need to get out of that Laodicean church and get yourself in a Philadelphia church. Hallelujah. Fall in love with your brothers and your sisters. Fall in love with the Word of God. Fall in love with the trials that come, and be faithful and hold on to God. Woo, hallelujah. He's coming any minute. Any minute. And he said, because you need a hot and a cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, I got to help you take that last verse seriously, because I really love this last verse. I'm being real honest with you when I tell you that I never remember reading this before. Never. I never remember reading this last verse like I read it before. It's powerful to me. It's overwhelming to me. It's overwhelming to me. Let's read it together, would you? Verse 21. To him that overcometh. Let's take our time. I know it's after 12. To him that overcometh. Do you know what it means to overcome? Does anybody know what it means to overcome? Listen to me back here, brother. Brother Chuck, I love you so much. To overcome means everything in your life that's not in perfect Bible order, you get it in Bible order. You don't let the world cheat you. You don't let the devil cheat you. You don't let your own love for things of this life cheat you. You fall in love and you overcome. It isn't easy to be an overcomer. One of the people who wrote me over the weekend concerning once saved, always saved, he said, don't get so hard on people that they always feel nervous about their future. Don't get so hard on people that they can't even make a little mistake without feeling terrible about it. Don't get so hard on people that they're so concerned about little things in their life. And I said, what are you talking about, young man? You say you're a Pentecostal and you don't want people to be concerned. I want you to feel your conviction when your life is not in order. I don't want some bondage over you that's not real. I just want a real sense of your duty to please God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, except you deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. What does it mean when you deny yourself? You say no to yourself. That's what you do. What do you mean? It means you no longer try to please yourself. I don't care about pleasing Brother Chambers. I've been asking God lately, contend with me, God, chasing me within an inch of my life till you get me where you want me. That's what I want him to do. How many of you want God to chasten you and get you ready for the rapture? Let me see your hand. Come on, raise it way up high. You want God to chasten you. You want God to chasten you and get you ready. I'm praying for that, for you, for your sake. So he says to him that overcometh, him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now think about this. When the rapture takes place, we're moving up there, if we're ready to go, to a place where we sit on thrones and wear crowns and have garments of eldership, and we sit with Christ on his throne. Not a literal matter of sitting on a throne. It is a matter of every one of these elders Revelation 4, every one of the whole 24 of them were sitting on thrones. You remember that? They had authority. They had power. They now was reigning with Christ. They now were there to be part of the coming kingdom and be governors and presidents and mayors and whatever in the new kingdom of a 1,000-year reign on the earth. Yeah, we're going to sit with him in his power. We're going to sit with him in his glorious triumph and victory. And we're going to reign over this earth 1,000 years. We're going to sit with him in his throne. He said, even as I am set with my Father in his throne. How many remember when Jesus ascended to heaven, the first thing that the Bible tells us about happening? The Father let him know he had done what he had bid him do. Well, you have overcome. You've been victorious. You are an overcomer. And he gave him a name which no man had. Nobody had ever had such a name. And he made his name to be a name by which every man or woman would have to bow if they are saved and if they go into the heavenly kingdom. And he made Jesus the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I'm doing some praying right now about a special sermon. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. But I'm praying for the wisdom about prayer, that we can start seeing our prayers answered and not just a lot of crying and whooping and yelling and no results. It's time the church was so full of the power of prayer that we saw miracles. The whole church world needs this. And so I've been praying, God, teach me that kind of praying. Teach me the kind of praying that cannot fail to get an answer. And one thing that's got a hold of me, and I'm just getting into it, and that is the position of Christ as the Lord over his church. Did you know Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand? And everything that goes into the Father has to go in by him? And every need you got, when you are totally surrendered to him, he takes it into the Father? You're praying for a son that's lost, Sister Lucille. You're praying. We got to get to the place that we pray in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ so intently and so miraculously and so mightily that when we get through praying, the Lord Jesus turns to the Father and said, Father, I just heard from one of mine. And he or she is ready for an answer. And so let's have that answer for them today. And the Father said, okay, son, tell the Spirit to go do it. And so here comes the Holy Ghost right down through the steep of the sky. And he settles wherever that answer needs to be wrought. And he works a miracle and brings to pass a great answer. Because the Son of God has heard your prayer and gave it to the Father. And the Father has said, okay, and now the answer's on the way. Am I making any sense? That's the kind of praying God wants us to learn. I'm not there. I'm not telling you something I know all the details of. But I'm telling you something I'm on my way to. And you can trust it by the grace of God. Now listen. He said, because you've overcome, I will make you to sit with me in my throne. How many of you want to sit with Jesus in the throne of heaven? How many of you really want to sit with Jesus in the throne of heaven? Do you really want to? Let me see. I'm looking at you. Do you really want to sit with Jesus on his thrones? Just like he's sitting with the Father? All right. You've got to be an overcomer. You got to overcome yourself. The biggest thing you'll overcome is your own sense of whatever. I don't know how to say it, except you got to overcome you just like I got to overcome me. And we got to overcome this world. We got to overcome the devil. And the devil's got more wiles than you ever thought were of. But Jesus can help you overcome every one of them. Because you can defeat the wiles of the devil through the power of the Christ. Now, are you part of the Laodicean church? Are you part of the Philadelphian church? Are you rapture ready? Are you cold and indifferent? If you want to be rapture ready, on fire, would you stand up? Stand up with Brother Chambers. I preach from my heart this morning, church. I preach what the Holy Ghost has poured into me. Poured into me. Brother Eric was telling me this week about the old Church of the Nazarene camp meeting up in Hendersonville, North Carolina, where he started going to when he was a little boy 50-some years ago, and the fire in that place. And he said, Brother Chambers, when I come to Paul Creek, I see the same thing I used to see in that church. I don't know that we're worthy of that statement, but I know we're headed in that direction. We want the fire of God in this house. If you want the fire of God in this house and you want to be one of those rapture-ready saints, would you step up a hand and let's pray together. Father, I close my eyes so that I don't look around and see who's praying and who isn't. But I cry out to you. Father, make this church a Philadelphia church. Make this church a rapture-ready church. Set us on fire with the visitation of the Holy Ghost, that there is no doubt of our walking with the Lord. There is no doubt of our surrender to Christ. There is no doubt of our hunger for the fire of God's Spirit. Would you raise your hands high and give yourself afresh to God this morning? Would you do it with me, church? With your hands up high, would you walk down to the altar and meet me across this altar? The men on my right here, your left, and the women on our left, your right, on my left, and let's come to pray. We do this just to make it more comfortable for the ladies, the men over here and the ladies over there. Come and pray, everybody. I want you in this altar if you want to be on fire, if you want to be ready, not cold and not lukewarm, but on fire, on fire.
Oh, my last weary mile, will he hold my trembling head when before the bar I stand? Will he say, my child, well done, a crown of life you have now won? When my feet touch the streets of gold, when my feet touch the streets of glory, when I travel my last weary mile, will he hold my trembling hand when before the bar I stand? Will he say, my child, well done, the crown of life you have now won? When my feet touch the streets of gold,
if by chance some happy morning you should miss me, don't you weep for me because I'm gone. Oh, I'll be at the feet of the one who died for me when my feet touch the streets of gold.
Oh, when my feet touch the streets of glory, when I travel my last weary mile, will he hold my trembling hand when before the bar I stand? Will he say, my child, well done, the crown of life you have now won? When my feet touch the streets of gold, and I am looking for the day when I'll see Jesus, and his blessed face I shall behold. With the saints of old, the half will then be told. When my feet touch the streets of gold, when my feet touch the streets of glory, when I travel my last weary mile, will he hold my trembling hand when before the bar I stand? Will he say, my child, well done, the crown of life you have now won? When my feet touch the streets of gold, yes, when my feet touch the streets of glory, when I travel my last weary mile,
will he hold my trembling hand when before the bar I stand? Will he say, my child, well done, the crown of life you have now won? When my feet touch the streets of gold.